Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You can hear Amy Adler by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
We're back at the races.
I have a
back at OBS.
From my electrical
Boy, you can't turn around without coming across a industry stalwart, including one of our absolute favorites, Ron McQuett. Good morning. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
How many times in a row do you figure Whitmore is going to win that race?
As many as they'll let us. We'll keep trying to win it.
I love it. And, of course, the hot springs, while you prepare for the Count Fleet. And that Count Fleet, there's a bunch of big names pointing for Arkansas Derby Day and the big sprint opportunity.
That's fine. We like our horse, and we're thinking that there's going to be some good competition come, so we're just going to plan down that path to get ready.
Well, and you know, for him and you know, the way he went through last year, you know, you do have to, I suppose, as they get into advanced age, I mean, what do you watch for to see if they're at the same level that as they get older?
They'll tell you where they're at. You know, the way he trains and as aggressive as he is for the works and but, you know, he's been around forever, but he's only six.
I know.
I think that's the reason people think he's been around forever is because of the, you know, the Derby exposure and the Arkansas Derby and that stuff. But, yeah, he's still a young guy in sprinting age.
And he feels more and more like a tactical weapon, too.
Yeah, he's got a lot more versatile with his age, thank goodness, and he takes less out of him. He comes back to the barn, he's cooled out before he gets to the test barn. I love that.
Well, and you know, you look at last year, he was very close to the pace, and at the turn back win time, at the end here, I mean, he was, you know, with authority and in control.
Yeah, and you know, the win times and the horses to share the upsides and the horses that he's run against are always, you know, fast horses. So there may not be household names everywhere, but you can see how Whit does when he leaves here. You know, the horses he's run against here are at Oakland are high caliber horses.
Well, and it's also sustained him, you know, this pattern of development and getting him, you know, started at this time of year. It obviously has paid dividends, and he was, you know, at his best at age five, So here he is at age six. He's never been off the board at Oaklawn. And we've heard, and we just know from watching as the season unfolds, the three-year-olds and beyond, the horses that start their season at Oaklawn, they come, you know, by the time they move back toward Kentucky and wherever they're going to head, middle American, Illinois and Minnesota and wherever else, they're in prime shape. It's one of those facilities that over the years you've heard about. I mean, Hialeah was famous that way. Fairgrounds. Bobby Frankel used to say he'd go to fair. He took horses to fairgrounds that wasn't fit to start the year, and then by the time you left in March, you had a fit and ready horse.
Well, I think Oaklawn really tries with their. With their track, we have a track committee, and we meet once a week, and that's the horsemen getting together with the people that run the racetrack, and we tell them, what our ideas are if we think that it's this or that, and they actually work at it, and they work with keeping communication between the horsemen. So I think that's one of the reasons why the horses stay around for as long as they do.
And as we get closer toward this portion of the meet that's going to be extended, what's your feel for how it's playing out in practice?
Well, we're always talking about how beautiful it is when we're leaving Oaklawn, and we say there's just two rainy and cold times in Hot Springs, and that's one of them's for 45 days and the other one's for 40. But when we're leaving, Oaklawn is beautiful, so everybody's pretty excited to think about what it's going to be for that last 2 weeks.
And I mentioned, of course, Arkansas Derby Day and the Racing Festival of the South, but in the meantime, we got a big weekend coming, and there's a lot of people that have got horses for potentially these two Rebels. Come on, where's your three-year? Did Cabot... Too late for Cabot?
Yeah, we're not ready yet, but I'm proud of what we have. And I was joking around with my buddy the other day. I said, this year, if they ask the Jeopardy people who won the 19 Rebel, they may be able to say, two answers. They may both be Baffert. Who knows? Just say
well,
Baffert and be both of them.
What do you, out of curiosity, what do you, you got any little hints for people? For the ones that are local,
I think there's some nice local horses that's going to be, a little under bet. But I'm going to say, I like Laughing Fox. I think he's a nice horse, and I think he's coming into the right time. I think there's two or three that's there, but Baffert looks pretty imposing.
Yeah, he does. What about Frosted Ice with you? You were considering, weren't you?
He's doing well. He worked good the other day, but he's got this New York bred stamp beside him that tells me that I don't have to push him.
So you're going to wait?
So we're just going to wait. And when this thing come up like it did, I thought I had him fit enough for the distance, but not this caliber right off the bench. So we're going to, take care of him and let him ease into the year instead of throwing him into it.
All right, because my list has got about 17 to 19 working horses, so somebody's going to have to throw down here to fill out to get the 20.
Yeah, we actually didn't even nominate.
Okay,
to make sure.
So that was on somehow that was on a working list. Yeah. Tell me about Cabot though, who got a 77 buyer in that maiden win going six. This is a will take charge. So for him to win at six at all is a little surprising.
Yeah, and against older horses.
Yeah,
we're the only two. When you break a maiden special weight at Oaklawn, you have to run against field size. And the first race we ran, we were six wide, and on a day that speed and inside is prominent. And then this last race, I thought he ran like we expected the first race, I think we look for good things when we stretch him out.
This is a will take charge out of a Scat Daddy mare. Any turf thoughts somewhere along the line as well?
I'm planning on grazing him out.
I'm
sure eventually we might look later, but there's no lawn at Oaklawn, and I'm looking right now.
So later on, yeah. And this was a horse that you got at Saratoga for Alex and Joanne Lieblong, and was hoping to catch up with Alex, but he's out at the farm looking at babies right now.
Yeah, We just come in from looking at
it. Okay, good. So you're back?
Yep. Yep. We just come in. We had half the backside out there looking at different 2-year-olds, and it looks like everything's going to be fine.
Well, I said earlier to people, don't let him buy every big beast that goes through the ring.
You know, I know that he's worried about, you know, he said he wanted to watch them and represent them, but he didn't want to be bidding on any. He said, because I don't want people to think that I'm affecting the price. He said, you know.
So, he's driving up that he's, yeah. Oh, all right, all right.
I found one I liked, and I told him, I said, look, I like this for another client. You're not going to. He goes, no, I'm just here to be a proud granddad, you know.
I was out with him on Sunday, yeah. And he absolutely was delighted. And a lot of the bloodstock types and pundits, they were impressed with the breezes that, you know, and they're not all necessarily like him, you know, that this big loping horse that takes, you know, takes two for everybody else's one. They're all different kinds.
Well, it's funny. It's like they seem to all to be quick. But, you know, whenever you breed in Florida, you're going to breed to speed on the bottom side regardless.
Yeah.
If they're here, they're going to. So you could get about anything. And I was pretty impressed with what I've seen so far.
Absolutely, and there'll be, you know, there's always, every time you come, particularly here at this time of year, there's always some surprises, and all of a sudden you look up at the tally sheet, and you know there's some stallion that nobody really had been talking about going in that ended up selling well and gets off to a big start.
This is a great spot to do market analysis for the rest of the year as well for your stallions. You can come here and never heard of a stallion. Like an uncaptured.
That'll last you, absolutely.
And then whether, you know, I can tell who's serious in the game because whether you're lifting your hand up or not, you're doing your homework and getting educated.
Let's get educated on tomorrow at Fairgrounds because you got Chat Noir, Black Cat, and Appletini.
That's right. I've got two fillies. It's been hard to get the races to go there, but I believe they're both sitting on good races, hopefully. Hopefully, Chat Noir shows what she's been showing in the morning.
You re-entered Appletini too for later in the week.
Yeah, because if it came off, you know,
what's the prospects? I didn't even look at heaven.
If this year, if it looks like every time I enter one, it could run off. You know, the turf down there. I think I told somebody. I think I've run about three more races on the turf there at Fairgrounds than I have at Oakland.
It's funny for the stakes action. They've been lucky, and how did that, you know, we're edging up toward Louisiana Derby days. Just what, 2 weeks away?
Yeah, it's there's some great horsemen down there, and it's a good surface, and I joke around with them, but you know, having a turf horse during the winter is hard business.
Yeah. Yeah,
wherever you're at.
Listen, in New York this past year, it was tough during the summer and the fall. Forget about the winter. We're having, you know, as much difficulty during the, you know, the course of the regular year, the way the rain came at us nonstop, Saratoga and Belmont. This Chat Noir, an Uncle Mo out of a Freud mare. So here's another one that somewhere along the line, and you know, the grass. Why not? If it came off, though, why wouldn't you try a horse like this on and off?
Sure, yeah, we would. You know, it's just we just have to play it by ear and see how the surface is and everything. But yeah, sure.
That's the Rialto people, Rialto Racing, and you got a busy, yeah, you got a good week going with Fairgrounds. What other stake runners between now and festival and Louisiana Derby weekend?
We've of course you spoke about Frosted Ice. We've got Petrov going to be coming first out of the year, going to run an allowance race.
Excellent.
At Oakland. We'll be looking for a spot for Frosted Ice. We've got Georgia's Reward. Then we've also got a new 2-year-old or 3-year-old filly that is an Arkansas bred that's never been in Arkansas, named Bye Bye Jay, that we bought privately. And she's a nice filly. She runs second in the Ford Gale. The people that had her did a wonderful job getting her to the races and doing well. And we're looking to have our first start with her this weekend at Oaklawn.
Well, and speaking of purchases, you, and I haven't had a chance to ask you about this, because you ended up with a horse that I really came to like last year, of Mark Cassie's, Mississippi, and going to make a second start for you. Talk about, you know, you, a lot of times a horse like this, and you bought this at the Horse of Racing Age sale last fall, you know, you got to learn about him. This was a horse that was cut out to be a nice horse.
Third in the Florida Derby, and we were lucky enough to buy him, and my client wanted me to kick him out and give him all the time I wanted. So we decided to bring him back here at Oaklawn and ran his first race short, which is what I like to do. And now we're stretching out. We got Joel Rosario on him this weekend, and we're looking to see if he's ready to regain his form that he had before.
Well, and it. If that form does come back, I mean, if for those that forget, you know, he got to, after the Florida Derby, he ended up running in the Pathé Mile, and then an allowance, and then was sidelined. And so then the decision made to sell. And who's H&W that bought in?
That's a young lady named Ella Lou Smith from Magnolia, Arkansas. She's got a little piece of land in Arkansas. Sizable acreage.
I love it. I just like Ella Lou. That's
she's country as a road ditch, that lady.
Write that one down, everybody. Country as a road ditch. Ron Moquette, what are you shopping for here besides you got Alex and who else?
We've got several clients that shows interest, but we'll just have to see if they fall on our lap. We're not chasing anything. We're just going to try to hope to get a good deal.
And pounce on opportune.
That's it. You can't find them if you're not here. So we're just here seeing if someone else, you know, looks the other way. Will we steal one?
Over the years, what's been the best bargain that you didn't expect to buy at a sale? And how often have you ever just looked up at the ring and says, that's just not enough money for this horse. Let's get him.
Bunch. I mean, most of mine are bargains. If it wasn't for Mr. the last 3 years with Mr. Lieblong and the clients that I have now, before the clients we were, we bought Whitmore for $37,000 and Petrov for $35,000 and Amy's Dini for $3,000 and I didn't buy him. Mr. Rosenblum bought Gentleman's Bet for like $3,000. I mean,
unbelievable.
You don't have to spend the most money to get the best horse. If it were like that, then the richer people would win them all.
Well, exactly. And in some cases, the richer people end up with them anyway. I mean, you look at I don't know what we should call it. It's not an aftermarket, but, you know, like horses like this Hoffa's Union we talked about yesterday with Cassie that, you know, was an $11,000 purchase. Gary Capuano took his time with him. Apparently he had a chip taken out as a two-year-old, and he just brought him along, and, he's going to end up in the Florida Derby now for Gary Barber and Adam Wachtel and Christopher Dunn. I mean, and Gary Capuano, that's the way he makes his living, is by, there's a lot of guys like that. Harrigan, Bill Harrigan, and there's any number of savvy horsemen that pick them out on physical and such.
The risk is there. Maybe they don't have the pedigree, or maybe
exactly.
Maybe they're a little, not turned out for the moment at the sale.
Exactly.
And you try to you take a little risk and spend a little money, and then hopefully you hit a black chip,
Exactly. Well, we want you to do that and knock them dead. We're getting close. What are we up to here? 31. All right, Casey, let's get the audio picked up so that we can listen in to Hip 33 when it comes into the ring. And we'll see how high that goes. I'll send you the link, Case, because I had it earlier this morning. Hold on. Let me jump quickly. And I don't want to be late getting to this. Stay with us, folks. And Ronnie, what do you think? What's this horse going to sell for?
A lot. I've seen the right people hovering. It's kind of funny. It's like whenever the big ones come in the ring, you can get a feel. There's a little bit of electricity in the air, but also you start seeing people stand in certain spots that are the players. And it seems like everybody's got their own own spot. But you'll see Steve Young stand at this spot, and you'll see you know, Donato stand over there, and you know they're all trying to be inconspicuous, but we know where you're at. You can hold your hand up longer than we can. So
you can hide, but you can't run. In this case,
yeah,
it's
right.
The exact opposite. Hip number 32 is in there right now, and just gotten started. It's up to 35. Okay, Casey's got it, and this is a factor colt from Top Line. And it's got, this is a second foal that hasn't, the first foal hasn't gotten to the races yet. And out of an Empire Maker mare, so this should be a grassy router. And looking physically, what do you think physically?
I didn't get to see this colt that much. I like the factors, but... But I didn't get to pay attention to this one.
Long body. Casey, turn the volume up. 33 is going to come in the ring right now. Yeah. And this will put the spurs to the sale a little bit. You got it?
Tampa Bay Derby on
they might
Saturday.
Not. And there we go.
This colt out of a grade one stakes winning mare, Artemis Aguaterra, now named Chestertown, a registered New York bred, but the leading star, Tappet, worked in 10 and wide.
Well, they don't come around often, but here they are. Who get 500 to start in? Who get 500 in the ring? 500. That's all right.
100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100
Everybody else is out. That's the bad news. $1,001,000, $1,002,000, $1,003,000, $1,003,000, $1,003,000, $1,003,000, $1,003,000, $1,003,000, $1,003,000, $1,004,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000, $1,005,000 600 million 700 million 600 million 700 million 600 million 700 million 600 million 700 million. Now I'm way down here. 1,000,000 7. Head to 1,000,000 6,000,000 7. All the money's at the back. 1,000,000 7 8 million 8. Not now. 1,000,000 8 million 8 million 8. Head to 1,000,000 8. Now 9. Give me 1 to get 2 million. That might just shut the door. 1,000,000 8 2 million, please. At 1,000,000 8 9. I'll do 9,000,000 8 9.
Shut the door and sell the barn. We're on the road.
809. John, it just doesn't happen often, but have a look in the ring.
Not many like this. A colt by the leading sire, Tappet, at the Tampa Bay Derby winner. A legitimate
now they want to get to two. They never expected this. This is twice what they expected.
A two-time Grade 1 stakes winner. The second dam, of course, by
John's done his job. John's the perfect wingman for horses.
2 million, if you please.
If you could have brought John to the bar with you when you were single and had him introduce you.
2 million 1. 2 million 1. 2 million 8.
Wouldn't your odds get better?
Slow down here. 2 million 1.
I think he says all the right things.
I did okay. Yeah.
2 million 1. 2 million 1. 2 million 1. 2 million.
And I got her at the. I got her at the mutual window. There you go.
2 million 1. 2 million. 2 million 1. Money to the back on Mitchell. 2 million 1. 2 million here. 1 million 1. 1. Now 1 million 2. 2 million 1. I'll wait on you, of course. So will 2 million 1. How do you like the new pavilion, by the way? Want to talk? Looks good, huh? 2 million 1. Well, we have to pay for it, you know. 2 million 1, 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 beat him, John. That's what they're supposed to look like. That's who they're supposed to be by. 2,000,001. 2,000,001. 2,000,001. 2,000,000. Here's the winning one. We'll do 2,100,000 more. 2,000,000. 2,000,001. And I have in the back $2,000,000. Best of luck.
And we have other outstanding horses yet to come.
How about that?
That's nice.
How about that?
That's nice, isn't it? That's
$2 million.
You'll earmark that and hope that he runs to his value and understand that there was only one person in the world that thought that horse was worth $2 million today, and they own him.
And that's the beauty of this system, right?
That's it, yeah.
Everybody's got their own evaluation process. We'll find out as quickly as we can from the media barn just off to our left as to who it was. It ended up being in the back, although a bid did come in at 1-8 in the pavilion. And then it went back outside. But I'm telling you, just based on all the buzz, they expected 800 to maybe 1.2.
It takes two guys.
Yeah.
Two guys or two individuals to like the same thing, and that's what drives our market. So.
And this may have had, you know, when it was just over a million, there may have been a couple of other. It may have gotten to be, you know, more than two even, that drove it that quickly to that kind of a number.
I just wonder sometimes, because for me, I'll be like, look, I would like to give 50 to get this horse. Would be tickled if it's 40, but I'm not going to 80. And I just wonder if they get together and go, look, I would like to give 800 for this horse. But I'll go to a million. And then you get in there and get them.
You're not going to give up. You've made up your mind that you want that horse.
Well, that's bless them. That's all I can say.
that's what makes us go. And of course, this for Chester Broman, and you know, you've come to New York now the last several years, but it's going to be. And I had it yesterday with Becky Thomas. It's going to be sad that. You know, that the Broman name, I mean, obviously his influence, it won't ever leave New York and beyond. But this is one of, I'm going to guess, is maybe his biggest seller even.
Yeah.
I don't think he's had a $2 million seller before this.
No, I think there's a Union Rags coming up later that maybe with that that family that will be another... Another blue chip.
Another big hit?
Yeah.
Here's my list. Did I ask you the first croppers? Who's caught your eye between yearling time and now?
Carpe Diem.
How about that? David Fox and more importantly, Natalie. Natalie in tow.
David Fox just let me out at the road to come in. So we were all at the farm together.
Well, do the
Sky Kingdom is another one.
Sky Kingdom's got a buzz. He's this year's Cantheros or this year's.
I was really impressed with, and you know, Sky Kingdom was obviously ran a route of ground, but I was really impressed with how these guys look like they got some speed too. So that's pretty cool.
Well, we'll keep an eye, and it's funny you said Carpe Diem, because I brought him up earlier with Steve Chirac and with Di Donato. Bo Lane, one of Bo's favorites of the ones that he's raised on his farm. Well, let's do this. We're going to take a break, and we've got about 40 minutes, and I'm going to get a couple more guests lined up, and we're going to find out who paid $2 million, Ron. I can't thank you enough, Ron Moquette, and we'll certainly talk to you. We'll see you at I'll be at Oaklawn for
we're planning
Derby
good
week.
Weather for you and about 40,000 of our closest friends. So
well, did they open the infield on Saturday? They talked
I
about it.
That's the first day they're going to open it this Saturday.
Oh, is this that this Saturday?
Last Saturday.
Oh, that's right. For Rebel and the Azarian.
We had a monsoon early. I never thought the track would have been good by the third race, but it was great.
Because it was over by like noon, right?
Yeah.
Or 11:30, because we wondered about it.
Yeah, it was really cool. I look forward to seeing you out there.
Absolutely. Ron Moquette, everybody. Whitmore and Petrov's on his way back, too, which is tremendous. One of our absolute favorites, and as great a guy. How are you? Unbelievable. Jimmy Bond and Tina? He's up in the mess. All right, that's his problem. That look at us. Who's got it better than us? I love it. Yeah. Good. Always fun. Unbelievable. Jimmy Bond. Let's take a quick break. Only 40 minutes left here, and I'm nothing I can do. We got to get back down to Clearwater, but we've we've struck on a on something I think we're going to be doing more of, which is coming to OBS, because this is too much fun, and it's just a perfect scenario. Back after a break, find out who paid $2 million.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
You've got an open heart, so you share what's inside, thinking that all is said in confidence, but then you realize.
We're back at the races, and Joe Neville's back on the show, the Michigan-bred claimer, and back in printed page, and didn't take him long, of course, latched on to PollockReport.com, and you knew somebody that was working there, I think.
I knew a few people. Yeah, one of them I happen to live with, my wife, Natalie Voss. I think she put in a good word for me.
There you go. You were about 2 to 5 to end up working with Natalie, who of course does a lot of great hard news and long form work.
Oh yeah,
and is a big talent. You know, I've never thought to ask this. Where's she from?
She's originally from Virginia.
So she's got Voss family ties.
No relation. No, everybody always asks her. And
yeah,
she wants to start lying and just, oh yeah, I know. I'll, you know, I'm
yes,
right.
Tom
in that
was my great uncle twice removed.
You know, saw him every Thanksgiving and Christmas. We tell stories about the racetrack, but no, none of that bloodline.
All right, I was curious. That's great.
Yeah.
The answer to our question, and we'll get back to you in a minute, but the big pressing question, of course, was the $2 million purchase and the Artemis Agroterra, and we do have an answer, Joe.
$2 million with authority. Getting the two-year-old season off on a good start. Auctioneer Ryan Mahan joking that we have a fancy new pavilion here in OBS. We got to pay that baby off somehow. We're going to do it with a $2.2 million colt, son of Tappet, out of grade one winner Artemis Agroterra. Got a lovely family there, Breeze and 10-1. We're going to a big partnership here. We're going to West Point Thoroughbreds. Robert Masiello's in this. Sienna Farm also on the ticket. And after signing the ticket, Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds said that breeders Chester and Mary Broman are going to stay in for a third.
How about that? So great. So that's really nice. And the Bromans, obviously, even though they're liquidating the broodmare band this November, and you know, kind of paring down with the young horses, they're not disappearing from the scene. So West Point, Masiello, Sienna, and the Bromans. What a nice that's a nice combination.
Yeah, big score for the New York bred program too.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And in fact, I'm glad you said that. I didn't get a chance. I've promised that Joe McMahon was going to come visit the show a million times, and I see Joe, and he just is so shy, and he says I've tried to get him on television over the years, Capital OTB won't do it, but you know, Joe on hand, and of course his son, very nice program that he and the McMahon and Hill team and everything they've done with the Bourbon partnership, and they're on hand. But Joe, of course, was Central Banker,
yes,
who's had, you know, really, Joe's, I said, doing great. He goes, very steady, knock on wood. He's very happy with where things stand. But Central Banker, you know, who we kept telling everybody was going to be a hit, and he really has. But this kind of New York bred, that's one of the funny things. You got a grade one winner, and then you got an Artemis Agroterra, and then you slap Tappan into it, and you can see. I mean, that was a predictable session topper. I mean, I don't think we're not going beyond $2 million. I know there's a couple other nice hips.
Not today, I don't think.
No.
There are a couple tomorrow that I like. You know, the ball bounces the right way. You never know. But
wow,
you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to beat two. I gotta go back and look and see how long it's been since a horse has brought $2 million at the OBS.
That's
March
a good
sale.
Question.
If it's, I know, I'm pretty sure it's happened at least once. I feel like a Tisnow brought like 2.45 or something. Could have the spring sale mixed up with that.
Okay.
But either way, it's been a long while since a horse has brought this kind of serious level coin at the OBS March sale. So it's going to be tough to beat.
Well, and we're going to ask you what else you liked. Give us a feel for what jumped out at you. I did have your page. I tore this out from yesterday, and you had your day one hips to watch, and of course this was prominent. But a couple of other notables that caught your eye for today and tomorrow.
Yeah, one that I've really got my eye on. I don't know if we're going to challenge $2 million on this, but I really liked hip 147. This is a Candy Ride filly out of the Ghost Zapper mare, Altimas. This is a half to champion sprinter, Dreyfong. So
ooh,
you have to like what you see there. Breezed well. Another one right not too long after that. Hip 149. This is a pioneer of the Nile colt out of Golden Artemis, making this a half-brother to Mike Conquistadori. You know, the Conquest family line.
Right.
That's turned out to be a very good, you know, broodmare program.
Yeah.
And, you know, the page is expanding very well. And, you know, Pioneer of the Nile is Pioneer of the Nile. People love them. So this is another one that I've definitely got my eye on going forward. One more later in the session, hip 231. This is an Uncle Mo filly out of Icon Project. Out of great Icon Project, of course,
oh, yeah,
grade one winner.
Marty Wolfson.
Yeah. So, you know, Empire Maker Mare is doing great work all over the place. It'll be an interesting end of the session. I think we've seen our topper. I'm willing to put that down. But
considering that they were talking 800 to 1.2,
yeah,
this was stunning.
Absolutely.
Do we know who the foe was, who the underbidder was going up against?
They were in the house. I did not get a catch at who it was.
All right, we'll find out. That story will be yet to be written, and we'll watch for you to write it. The same topic I've asked everybody, the first-year sires, and particularly the ones, Joe, that you've noted since Keeneland that have made transitions, that have changed, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to start with the obvious ones. American Pharoah, of course. He's got the numbers. He's got the first book of mares. If they don't succeed, something is very, very wrong there. Another one that I'm really fond of is Honor Code. He's really done a good job stamping himself into his foals. I need to go back and really do a deep dive on how they breeze, what their times were, how they went and everything. But just from a physical standpoint, love what they're doing. Ones that I've really seen come along well from their yearling season to two-year-olds, I've been liking a lot of Daredevils. I think they're coming along nicely. I wasn't too over the moon about them as yearlings, but looking at them as two-year-olds and seeing how they've developed, I think they're gonna outkick their coverage a little bit.
You know, there's a topic too. How challenging is it for a young stallion, for a first crop stallion, to overcome those initial impressions that people get? They go, they see some weanlings that go by, and then they see them as the yearlings, and they get this, I don't want to say negative impression, but have a first impression that lodges in their head. Can that doom a first crop stallion?
It can certainly make things difficult, especially for those next few books after the first ones, because you're basing it off the reputation of those weanlings, of those yearlings. But the two-year-old sale is a great equalizer in that everyone's got to go out on that track and prove it themselves. I don't care what your page looks like. If you go out on that track and you're slow, it doesn't matter who your daddy is. It's, you know, if it's a good horse, they'll get the job done. They might not bring the, you know, there's obviously stallion potential, broodmare potential. There are things that can bring that value from six figures to seven figures, but if it's a good horse, they're going to get money.
This is always some of my favorite, you know, portions of this. You know, who else came up? I can tell you from earlier today. Wicked Strong got a push a little bit ago.
Yeah, and he's one that is very well represented in this catalog. I believe he's, if he doesn't have the most of the first crop sires in the OBS March catalog, he's right in the conversation. I was actually speaking to Ned Toffee of Spendthrift Farm about Wicked Strong. He's going to be in tomorrow's edition of the PR special, actually. Do a little shameless plug there. I did a thing for the Stallion Spotlight on Wicked Strong. And, you know, he's really happy with what he's heard of them working in Ocala so far. And I'm really excited to see how they're received by the marketplace. I pulled a few yesterday. I really like how they've come along from weanlings to yearlings to two-year-olds. And, you know, going back to my wife, Natalie, her favorite horse is Charismatic. Wicked Strong is out of a Charismatic mare, so I've got a little bit of a sentimental tie to that one. So I'm pulling for the Wicked Strongs beyond just hoping that they do well.
Well, a couple of other thoughts among the first crops. Who's going to be the surprise when we get to late tomorrow and you look at the tally sheet and you realize somebody that nobody was thinking about averaged $55,000 on a $5,000 stud fee.
Well, I'm not sure how they're going to do today or even in the two-year-old season in general. But I really like the Mr. Speakers. I think they're going to silence a lot of people on the racetrack. I love the body that he's put on them.
Yeah.
They're all very big built, which surprises me because Mr. Speaker isn't really a tower. He's really well put together, but I don't really see him as a monster. But I've seen some of his foals in front of me, and it's just, I'm looking up at him. And he's got the page, he's got the Phipps family breeding behind him, he's got the support of Lane's End behind him. He's one that, he's kind of my sleeper of the year. I don't, it'll be remain to see how they're received in the sale grounds. But once we get to the racetrack, I think he's going to be just fine.
How about that? And that's the first name. How many babies does he have?
Let's see. Going to look for Mr. Speaker on my handy dandy list here. He's got 79.
So that's a substantial. That's a solid number for
have chances. Yeah.
And what did he stand for?
He stood for 10,000.
How about that? Well, and you know, all of those McGahee trainees that kind of hit the market in a bunch, and to me, it seems like suddenly the orbs are starting to you know, the rubber is meeting the road finally, because people were really anxious to be dismissive and that, oh, he's you know, not getting it done and he's not, you know, but with maturity, they're starting to blossom.
Which we kind of expected.
You would think, but yet the marketplace and the public murmur is immediately, oh, the orbs can't run.
Yep.
And it's just, it's not fair. And it's overly judgmental and too, you know, too quick, basically.
Here's an interesting thing about the orbs. His first crop, I thought when they were weanlings, yearlings, I thought they were kind of gangly. They were long-legged. They really looked like they were going to grow into themselves at 2 years old. And eventually they did. His second crop looked entirely different. They lost their gangliness. It was really interesting. They were a lot sort of shorter, more compact, looked sort of more sprinter build. I saw a few that looked like that in the first year, but it really came out in the second year. And I don't know if it's a difference in types of books and mares between first and second crop, but there was a noted difference between the first and second crops of orbs for me.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to be curious to see if that next generation of orbs is going to perform any differently, because to me, and this is another thing that I spoke to Walker Hancock at Claiborne about, he noticed it too. It seemed like a different kind of horse coming out that second year. So who knows, maybe things will be a little different and they'll start getting some, you know, quick 2 year olds.
And I'm pulling up because I want to make sure to include all the ones that he has sent in stunning recent ability. Mr. Speaker, Data Link, Orb, Honor Code, Point of Entry.
I like Point of Entry.
Ironicus. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, and it just shows you how. I mean, Shug, you know, it's funny. We all, you know, we all think about, you know, the certain horsemen that are on, you know, the current Mount Rushmore, and. Yeah, the Lucas and Baffert, Mott, Pletcher, and of course Chad Brown that is you know, taking things by storm. For whatever reason, Shug, in my own, I mean, to me somewhat, Shug is more remarkable than any of them, because it's not like Shug has been going to sales the last 35 years.
Right.
Picking out horses that, you know, he senses he's dealt hands every year. He's dealt a hand, and he plays the hand that he's dealt. And granted, it's
a very good hand.
Yes, yeah, they've
got one heck of a dealer.
Yeah, it's generations of cards that have kind of taken out most of the, you know, most of the low numbers, but still, it there were certain things about, and this has been discussed particularly with Sid Fernando when we've had the pedigree discussions on those horses. Whether Shug helped author this new era of turf racing, mm-hmm. it could maybe be considered, because these are all, you know, he's other than Orb, really, he's crafted tremendous success on the grass.
Yeah.
Because those horses all had sort of classic distance breeding and distance and turf, you know, go hand in hand. And I mean, that is an astounding list in just the last 5 years, 6 years.
Absolutely. And one that you didn't mention on there.
Honor Code, too, of course.
Yeah, Honor Code. Yeah, that's, you know, Boisterous.
Boisterous, that's right.
Had a very good career in California on the turf, didn't he?
Boisterous, a very good addition to that. I mean, this is all since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. I mean, listen, Baffert produces tons of stallions, but I right now, I mean, that list of Shugs is awfully impressive. I and so, Mr. Speaker, the first reference to Mr. Speaker, I appreciate it. And I know some people were excited, are going to be excited about Ironicus.
Yeah.
From what I understand, I just, you know, early notes, the Distorted Humor Son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Ironicus is one that, you know, Claiborne Farm knows what they're doing. They're good at getting a stallion off the ground. And they're you know, this is what they do. They're going to put good foals out there. I mean, you see what, you know, look at the run halfies, how they were received in their weanling season, you know, short yearling season recently.
Yep.
You know, those are going to go on and do just fine. They're very good at getting a young sire off the ground. So I have absolute faith they can do it again here.
Well, Joe Nevels, we had absolute faith in you and in your opinions and your bloodstock work, of course, taking the tack from DRF to PollockReport.com, and it's got to be actually in its own way a lot of fun to be together with Natalie.
Oh yeah,
you know, pulling the same direction. We'll be watching for, you know, the missives and from the tweeting side too. Joe Nevels, how do you have it? What do you have it? What's your new
Joe_Nevels?
Okay,
and it, also going to be posting some stuff at Pollock Report.
Just at with the Pollock nameplate, and of course Michigan bred claimer still exists.
Oh yeah, for my various professional wrestling and other sort of outside of horse racing interests, that's at MI bred claimer.
Well, as I texted you the other day, I came across a Detroit restaurant diner in and around Tampa. Mm-hmm. All Michiganers serving
Michiganders. Get it right.
There you go. The Michiganders who are a huge hazard on highways between Michigan and Florida. They're famous for being awful.
See, but if you ask a Michigander, they'll tell you that the Indiana drivers are the ones that are the problem.
Well, I found this place, and they're doing Michigans, you know, in Quebec, and in Canada, they call that hot dog with the meat sauce. Mm-hmm. They call that a Michigan.
Hmm. I did not know that.
There you go. Bruce Brown. How about that? It's good. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. We should do a blast actually when we get a chance. All right. His assistant. Passed last week. Very tough. So I thought of you. They're serving Faygo and
Verners. Love the Verners.
I love Verners too.
It'll cure anything.
Well, you know, and for those that want a non-alcoholic mule,
yeah,
go to, instead of ginger beer, use the Verners.
And they're starting to expand. It was really hard to find Verners in Central Kentucky for a long time, but they're finally starting to get into the Krogers and stuff, so that's making me a lot happier. I used to go home and just stock up and get like 20 cases of Verners and bring it home from Michigan.
I used to get it in Cincinnati. I used to get it when I lived there. That's when my first exposure to Verners was in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm too lazy to drive the hour. It was just I go to Michigan more than I go to Cincinnati.
All right. Well, the other thing that I thought was hysterical, they have duplicated the Big Boy special, mm-hmm. the double decker from Big Boy, which I got the biggest kick out of that they've sort of latched on. I didn't realize what's the Big Boy brand in
it's Big Boy.
Okay, because it's funny, you grew up in New England. It was Abdow's.
Mm-hmm.
Abdow's Big Boy.
In Kentucky, it's Frisch's.
And Cincinnati, it's Frisch's. Mm-hmm. In Ohio, sure.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's just Big Boy in
just
Michigan.
Big Boy in Michigan.
At least that's what I always called
that's
it.
That's so funny. Well, I saw people eating those. All things it had a heavy Detroit bend. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because wherever you go, it's only recently I've noticed this, that, you know, there's all kinds of relocated Philadelphians that are doing cheesesteak shops all over the place, and I find those. And now I've discovered a Michigan place.
Yeah, I honestly didn't know those existed. So that's next time I fly into Tampa, I'll have to hit that and see how accurate it is.
And I'll get the name of it so that those of you now that are intrigued, it's right on 19 between Newport Richey, between Tarpon Springs and Clearwater, right on 19. I discovered the greatest barbecue joint that may be the best restaurant in Florida. This Robert's Smoke and Barbecue in Port Richey, astounding. I went back a third time. I went three times in 5 days, and I'm going back to this afternoon to Clearwater. Mm-hmm. We'll be going for a fourth time.
Nice.
Outstanding.
Now, that Michigan restaurant, do they just play videos of the Detroit Lions losing football games on loop?
No, but there was a ton of there's all kinds of state stuff, MSU, there's all kinds of Michigan, there's all kinds of Red Wing. I mean, there's Bob Lanier, souvenir. I mean, it's I can see what's going on, and everybody kept coming. And the owner, the husband and wife, and their daughter, they knew everybody that came in, everybody, and they're all people from Michigan living in the area. It was very funny. I got a big kick out of it. I knew, and I immediately texted you.
You did.
Joe, I can't thank you enough for this. Tremendous.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Joe Nevels, everybody, from Pollock Report, doing the bloodstock work. Was a nice addition, actually, to the Pollock lineup, and a nice addition to our conversations today. Thank you, Joe. There, love it. And we'll take our last break of the morning. We'll come back, and we'll see what else is going on in that ring, and then we'll send you out into this Tuesday. On the racing side, Kelly Breen going the other direction there, wearing his Breeders' Cup jacket. And we'll wrap up when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the Races, we're back at OBS. We've only got about 7 and 8 minutes, and do I have a treat? I could not have come up with a better way to finish these 2 days at OBS, because in walks from one direction, Jack Wolf. We brought you the Wolf. Jack Wolf, Starlight Racing, and I understand that Al Stahl is going to be training for the team.
That's the game plan right now. Clint Glasscock and a few of our Louisville folk have a, you know, we're not real smart, but we woke up the other day and saw where they're raising the purses there at Churchill Downs.
Lo and behold.
And Clint said, why don't we get a few of the Louisville people together and Starlight people and see if they'd have an interest in buying a horse or two. So we figured the best trainer for our purposes and in the Louisville area, and we've had a horse or two with him in the past, would be Al Stahl. So here we are.
Excellent, and we'll get more into that in a second. But Anna Ford wandered by, and I'm not going to miss an opportunity to talk to you and New Vocations, which just very quietly has done brilliant work. And just everything, tireless efforts from your part, the new, beautiful new ring that was built, the facility that you went out and basically built from scratch, and your work, really your timing, everything that went into what you did, and of course the Sinan's and Satish's support, and so many people that, you know, have been instrumental to get you going, and congratulations on all the aftercare efforts of New Vocations.
Well, thank you. We definitely couldn't do it without people like Starlight and Jack Wolf and Lori, and their whole crew have been with us for 15 years.
Yep.
I don't know, however long you've been in racing, it seems like from the very beginning. We couldn't do what we do without the support of the industry and the aftercare within the racing industry's made huge strides in the last 5 to 10 years. We definitely need to make more strides, but it's been great to see how much it's improved over the years.
What was interesting about what you were doing in terms of a second career and retraining, and then when you fold in the Thoroughbred Makeover and what went on there with Stuart Pittman and the instantaneous success, there was a certain harmony and kind of a flashpoint and the realization that there was not just a place to move the horses after their racing days, but that there was a whole, I don't want to call it a business, but there was a whole
there's a market
economy
there.
there's an entity that needed to be, I don't even want to say exploited because that's not the right word either, but taken advantage of and basically seen through.
Yes, no, absolutely. Aftercare came on the scene and becoming a major topic in the racing industry at the same time as some of the different aftercare efforts such as RRP came on, and our growth have definitely helped, you know, make Thoroughbreds the cool horse again in the show arena, which is great.
Well, and
you know, Steve, what a lot of people don't know about Anna is you know, not only is the New Vocations probably the leading outfit out there, she was very instrumental when we started the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance with her experience and basically wrote the manual for us. and you know, since then, I don't know how many $9 million have been raised or whatever, but she's behind the scenes not only, you know, pumping it up for New Vocations, but for a number of these other organizations, so good for her.
No, absolutely, and the pledges when we get to the big days, Breeders' Cup and Triple Crown events, and you get the owners to pledge percentages of earnings from the big races, that's a high-profile way to make people, you know, build awareness. What's the latest? What should people know? And what are the new initiatives? We're also getting close to Derby, and there's got to be some functions coming up.
We do the weekend before the Derby. We have our open barn and barbecue, which is the only time during the year that we open our whole facility up to public. So that will be coming up the end of April, April 26th. And
I promise to come.
Are you going to come? Okay. And then, you know, really our ongoing efforts, we have our horse show that's in September that we're going to be raising sponsorships for. And all of the funds that we raise for that horse show not only helps us put on that show, which brought in 350 Thoroughbreds last year,
wow,
but it also generates the operating budget for us to run New Vocations. So all the proceeds from that horse show and all the sponsorships helps us on our day-to-days. operations at New Vocations. So those are two big things coming up.
Well, and of course, you interact with regional retirement programs like in New York, the Second Career Program, Andy Belfiore, Take the Lead. And we've had a couple of horses retire that way. And anybody that's looking to adopt, they should go to the website and horse adoption.
NewVocations.org.
Yeah. And the facilities and everything you would need to know, and haven't talked to you in forever.
I know. Why is that?
I haven't seen you. I used to see, you know what's funny? We would see each other all the time, and I'd always grab you, and then
I'm stuck at the farm.
That's the problem. You got to get out. You got to get on my.
And I have a 5-year-old.
Oh, there you go. Well, that'll do it too, right? That'll do it. Stop. How are you? Good to see you. Always good to see you. And any publicity, anything you need, I'm happy to do.
Thanks for stopping me.
There you go, Anna Ford, everybody. And what the Twitter options to follow?
At New Vocations.
Simply put. All right. And Ford, always a pleasure. And Jack, for you, quick racing survey. We were talking before the air we went on. I was watching for Oramore, and it was outposted in the Busher and a tough field, a good group. And some thoughts coming out of that?
You know, even though she was in the 12 hole, we did have three scratches that moved us into the 9 hole, which I don't mind being, you know, on that stretch.
One turn.
On the back turn. But so we really don't have an excuse from the post. I wish Johnny could have gotten her, you know, up there to save a little ground going around the far turn. But in any case, she did stretch out a little bit to the 1 mile and finish up third, got a few points toward the Oaks, and... if she trains well, I guess we'll look at the Iceland and if we get some more points there and she handles the two turns, and hopefully we do the Oaks.
Some other updates, where's Sambaye?
Sambaye's still at J.J. Pletcher's. He should be back to Todd, I'd say, in 3 or 4 weeks.
All right, and so sort of a second,
We had to stop. He had chips.
Well, and he got a lot done in a short time too. Yeah. As he was an early, he was kind of an old school Starlight 2 year old.
And then we have Improbable that is out there with
a piece
Baffert
of that's
and,
right.
And he trained very well, as you pointed out. Sunday, I guess, went in 59 and something.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy work.
And so if Mr. Ritvo doesn't get involved, I guess we'd be heading to Oaklawn Park.
Well, looks right now it's very close. It's like 18 horses and
oh, is it that?
It's very close. I mean, like this. Otherwise, they're going to do one field of 14.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, it's close. I've got the tally, and I just asked Moquette. He had one I thought was on the list, came off, but. Yeah, I think they'll get it. I think they'll get it. Yeah. Somebody told Jerry Hollendorfer yesterday, you know, Jerry, because he was worried too. They said, you know, Jerry, why don't you just enter a couple more and bring a couple more? Could I do that? Yes, Jerry, you could. You if you bring if there's 18 and you bring two, that'll make 20.
You know, I was talking to Pat Pope, you know, at Oakland Oh, I don't know, where are we now, Tuesday? I guess it was last Thursday when all this was coming down, and he was in an awkward position because he didn't know if what they were going to do at Santa Anita. And so to go out and solicit the California horses or not, but apparently the green light is that that race will not be run at Santa Anita.
No.
So hopefully we get 20, 19, 20, something like that. And maybe, you know, there's always good news in Silver Lining. Maybe it's good that Improbable and Game Winner get separated here. So,
did you send some mares to Justify?
No, I'm out of the mare business.
Broke
me in 2008.
But and so, did you guys have? Did you have an option or two to?
We could have bought a share, or, you know. Lifetime breeding right, but
you had racing. Yours was the racing side.
Yeah.
Well, and of course the team back together with Windstar and China Horse Club with Improbable, and I was there for the race at Churchill, and I was there for the Los Al Futurity, and you asked me who's going to win the Derby. I said improbable, and I wasn't even thinking about your involvement.
Well, I was lucky I walked by. I certainly do have a face for radio, Steve.
Ba-dum-bum. Jack Wolf, everybody, and it completes a whirlwind 2 days here at OBS. I cannot thank Tom Ventura and his team enough for having us, hosting us. So much fun. And then everybody that rifled through. I'm not going to, I guess I can look quickly because Casey and I try to keep track. And Anna Ford and Jack Wolf, Joe Nevels, Ron Moquette, Jonathan Thomas, Steve Chirac, Brian DiDonato, Tommy Ventura. There you go. That's a show.
We're famous.
Talk to you tomorrow from HBPA.
The latest racing news.
That was great.
At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to Old Friends Equal.